This meeting is now being recorded.
That the documents that Jeff sent out. So I don't want to run afoul of the agenda. There it is. Okay, cool. Ah, nice. So I can slide right in there. So I don't know if we have a sort of a default anybody to run the call. So should we ask?
I vote you.
Okay. I'm more than happy to pick up the mantle in this case.
Unless someone else would like to do it.
Going once.
All right.
Twice. Okay. Cool. Obligated involuntary officer. Sweet. So I'm assuming, so if anybody hasn't had a chance to look at Jeff's document, please, you know, signify that now. So otherwise, it'll sort of be a lot easier to, at least for me to kick off, I'd like to sort of put myself in queue to sort of describe some of the sort of thoughts I had in going through the document. So if I don't see any hands go up, I'll just assume that that's a sort of a reasonable start. Nobody has any sort of starting off comments, questions, or proposals for a different direction. Cool. So I'll just kind of go in like line order of the sort of things I came across when I read the document. And one of the first one that comes up is kind of probably the high order bit. I found that the second sentence the third sentence in the first paragraph seemed to me to be in contrast or in conflict with our overall scope defined in our terms of reference. You know, in that we had a number of discussions about how, you know, we only want to, you know, ultimately produce recommendations that fall within the purview of ICANN, clearly, but that in order to understand some of the sort of the broader implications, especially as they relate to things like systemic dependencies and other issues, that we may, and we actually expected, would likely need to look more broadly than that. So the first thing that sort of like caught my attention was the broader consideration of security and stability of the DNS ecosystems, architecture, et cetera, et cetera, and actors is a topic that intersects with ICANN's mission in a number of areas, but the general topics are substantially larger matters will not be considered as part of this review. So to my sense, that was the first thing that caught my attention, and that necessarily contradicts what we put in the terms of reference. So I'm not sure that anything other than, you know, I want to sort of hear if anybody has any sort of comments or questions, but, you know, it isn't so much that I know whether we want to necessarily line item the text right now, but I want to know, was there some sense of why we sort of readjusted the scope in the subteam? Does anyone recall? Okay.
Well, this is Denise.
Hey, Denise.
I'd like to, I guess you don't have a cue, but I wasn't, I was chairing the first day's meeting in Johannesburg and wasn't able to join this group in its breakout session. So I don't have a sense of the discussion, if there was one, that around this point, but I also see a bit of a disconnect between this group, why it was formed, and this statement that the broader considerations won't be considered as part of this review. I see this as contradictory to our terms of reference and also the responsibility, I guess, or the circle that we drew around the topics for this subgroup to address. And it may just be a misunderstanding of how this is written. But one of the reasons that we have the group of topics in this arena under the subtopic area was precisely to address the broader considerations as they connect or impact on ICANN. That's not to say, of course, that the subtopic group or the review team more broadly would issue a recommendation or get involved in an area that is outside of ICANN's scope. Everything we do is bounded by the, you know, mission and scope of ICANN as it's laid out in its bylaws. But in order to understand the dependencies and the larger system in which ICANN carries out its responsibilities, I think we need to make sure that we understand a much broader landscape and also understand that ICANN has a range of responsibilities, from being directly responsible to sharing responsibility to simply being one member of a global community and being, you know, broadly supportive or acting as a facilitator or other things like that. So I also, to wrap up my remarks, find the introductory paragraph too limiting.
Yeah, great, thank you. Does anybody else want to sort of like make a commentary on this? I think one of the things that might be useful is just if we have kind of like a note of the things that are sort of coming up here. So, you know, we certainly ought to have discussion about them. And if anyone has any perspective that they maybe recall from the sub-team breakout or whatever, mentioning it now would be useful. But, you know, we might want to sort of ask if someone can help us sort of annotate, you know, sort of things that need to be updated in this. I mean, I have a sort of a tracked version of a lot of my comments, so I'm happy to share that on the list, perhaps after we're done with the call. We can sort of go from there. But I do want to make sure that, you know, if there's some additional perspective, that, you know, this is a good time to sort of go through it. And I'll keep an eye on the chat room for anybody that sort of feels more comfortable using that that medium. But
and then also, I was trying to find the list, the list of topics, the initial brainstorming list of topics that was refined. I don't see that on the wiki page. Can staff point me to that? Bernie, is that?
Hey, Denise, this is Yvette. There was an email that Jeff had sent out immediately after the Johannesburg meeting.
I have that.
Do you happen
to?
You have that part. Okay.
I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for the brainstorming list that we broke into these topic areas, and then we refined. We removed the duplication. We added more details. That list should be on the wiki page for this subtopic area.
Okay.
It actually should be linked to every subtopic area so people can track how we got to the subtopic areas and what the initial brainstorming and the initial list of topics were. That's an important anchor for all of the subtopic teams. Anyway, I don't want to take up time on the call, but when you guys find it, could you send me a link, please, and add it to this wiki page? Yeah, thanks.
Will do.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah, help us sort of like if we get to a point where someone feels very strongly about something and it's sort of helpful to look back, you know, it would be a good sort of mechanism to do that. Okay, so, you know, I'll move forward. I'll keep my eye on the chat room and hand raise and stuff like that. But the next thing I see is in the root zone management practices section, there's a TLD label management, what labels go in the root zone. So I think, you know, I think that's absolutely a reasonable, I see Bowman's commented. Due to the fact that nobody is on the call from the subgroup discussion, which is, I guess, true. I'm not sure who was there, but certainly I wasn't. And Denise, I hear you say you weren't. Standing by for Bowman, letting you finish. Right. Maybe we should move the discussion to the mail list.
This is Denise. So I think everything we talk about today, we also should talk about on the email list. I think that's kind of a standard assumption of mine that these calls are really important and useful to move the conversation along and the surface issues, but we should always be documenting and talking about things on the email list for not only transparency, but also to ensure that, that people who can't make the calls can continue to participate.
Yeah, no, Denise Bowen, I agree with you for the record. I completely agree. And like I said, I want to put my comments out on the list. I'll probably put them out as a tracked changes version of the document. I think one of the things that might be useful here is one, speaking more as a co-chair, so Denise will keep me honest on this, but speaking as a co-chair, we really want the sub-teams to start, you know, moving forward rapidly. And so in as much as there were notable absences from this sub-team meeting, we really wanted to have the meeting anyway. And one of the reasons, for example, is I'd like, you know, unless people feel like it's not the best use of our time, which I'll be receptive to, I can go over the comments and concerns I have, and we can actually evolve a sort of a shared understanding and then absolutely take it to the list. So I suspect with utter certainty that when I send the document to the list, it'll spark some conversation. But this way, hopefully people can understand, at least the people on the call here, and anyone who might listen to the recording can understand the perspective that maybe informs some of the comments. And so it's just supposed to be a higher fidelity way to start off the conversation. And also, that's getting used to sort of the fact that, you know, the sub-teams need to sort of meet more corporeal than on email. Is that a fair comment?
Makes sense to me.
Just watching the chat room for a second. Get Bobon's comment. Cool. All right, great. So then, yeah, so it's not that I want to beat this horse to death or anything like that. I just want to sort of go over it. So the TLD label management section, you know, to me it seems like this is a good section to have, and I'm not sure if the intent was to sort of be exhaustive, but, you know, just to make it clear, obviously I think the four bullets that were there were not an exhaustive list of things. It might just be a starting point to kind of underscore that. One of the ones I would have added, for example, is, so the ones that are there are what guidelines and constraints, I say this mostly for Bowen because he's, or I guess you can read the chat room, so I'll say it for Denise. You know, what's there is what guidelines and constraints govern the labels that are placed in the root, how much of these constraints are managed by ICANN, how is change control exercised, and if a proposed TLD contains non-ASCII Unicode IDN, what procedures are followed to ensure the labels meet these criteria? So one of the things I think that is important to add is, for example, what extent impacts and behavior relate to labels that will be or are in the root zone, and how can this longitudinally be considered? So, for example, name collisions. So there's been a lot of work done about name collisions in the last several years. It's easily argued that that name collisions aren't related to the fact that there's a string that's in the DNS root, but it's more about the consumption of that string and the results of that. So, you know, I think this is one of those cases where the priming statement at the beginning of the document wouldn't allow us to look at something that has kind of already provenly been, you know, within the scope of concern. So I guess I mostly would add that because it's a good instance, but I think, you know, even when we get briefings from ESSAC or whomever else, there'll be opportunity for us to see or understand that there are broader issues and how they relate to the work that we're doing.
Makes sense.
Okay. So then moving on, there's another section below that, NS and DS record management in the root zone. So this one was kind of surprising to me. The first two of three bullets there, they look to me like, I just wondered, do these belong more in like the ICANN SSR team's purview? Though they are appropriate, and I honestly am wondering. I'm not sure that I know that they don't belong here. But the first one is, are appropriate security practices used to ensure that changes are duly authorized by correct party prior to inclusion onto the root zone? And the second one is, are the NS and DS records validated by ICANN or PTI prior to inclusion in the root zone? What steps are taken if validation fails? So, I mean, I certainly could imagine us having a lot of conversations about this, but I also kind of thought this feels more like the ICANN, or as it says, maybe PTI, sort of internal processes, and are they protecting the integrity and validity of data in the zone? So is this something that belongs in this working group or subgroup, or does it belong more in perhaps the other one? Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
This is Denise. I'd like to get in the queue.
Yeah,
and again, sorry, I simply cannot get in to Adobe Connect. My understanding of how the broader team decided to split these teams was where ICANN had sole or primary explicit responsibility for the activity that would go in the ICANN SSR group, and under that, I would see these label. I would see the label management as going under that group instead of this group.
Okay. All right. Cool. And I see Ramakrishna says he agrees as well. And I, like, we'll take this to the list, obviously. So, you know, I'm happy to hear everyone's perspective on this. But don't feel like you have to decide right now. Obviously, there's nothing that's going to, the list is going to probably be our primary mechanism for working through these things until the calls. So not the other way around. But that's good. I'm glad it wasn't just me getting sort of loopy again. So the next thing that I saw, and Boban, I'm seeing your typing, so I'll grab your comment when you have it. Was under the respective roles of RSAC and ICANN. This one surprised me that we were, especially, so again, I'm going to just sort of suggest, I think the initial scoping statement above is probably something that needs some work, but the respective roles of RSAC and ICANN really kind of surprised me. Mostly just because I didn't know why we were calling out RSAC in particular, but nevertheless, when there's the sort of the subsection that says, let's see, where is it? It talks about the root servers, Boban. Sorry, I go back to Boban's comment. It should be in the scope no matter in which group. Oh, yeah, Boban. It absolutely should be in someone's scope. Totally agree. Just a question of which scope. And I personally don't have a strong feeling if the two groups want to sort of fence over where it goes, it should just go somewhere. So I'm totally with you on that. Anyway, so the root server operators, you know, there's a bunch of discussion in the paragraph. I won't bother to read it to everyone. It says, you know, blah, blah, blah. While the contents of the root zone, same across all the root servers, is it served at a finer level of granularity, technical aspect of the service, et cetera, et cetera. So basically the priming paragraph talks about the actual serving of data from the root server system. And then it jumps to a sub-bullet about whether there's, you know, is it appropriate that such variations exist across the root servers? Not actually describing if there is a variation. So I put in three suggested priming bullets. How consistent are the contents across all root servers, letters, and instances? How much lag is there in attaining consistency after a change to the root zone? Are there any instances of substantial inconsistency or variation, and how would this be detected? So there is a comment in there that says, is this RSAC's role or, you know, the SSR team's? And that really surprised me because I guess I feel like if we find an SSR issue, it shouldn't limit us that RSAC should care about that too. If anything, it should underscore the fact that if there's an SSR issue that RSAC should pay attention to, we should really raise it to them. So I guess my sort of meta question right now on the call is there any reason why we should treat issues that are relevant to RSAC as well with kid gloves? Or is it really, if it's an SSR issue, it's under our remit to address it and to outline it?
This is Denise, if I can get in the queue.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, an issue being within an RSAC's purview does not take it out of the SSR review team's purview. And in fact, if that was our operating standard, there'd be very little that the review team would actually be doing because of the activities of RSAC, SSAC, and actually other elements of ICANN. Our responsibility is to look broadly across ICANN advisory committees and stakeholder groups and ICANN departments and even a little broader than I can, where ICANN's responsibilities involve it and other entities. So I also would not agree to taking any RSAC issue off the table.
Great. Okay. And I might, I hope I'm not misreading it. So, you know, since I wasn't there, I sort of personally just telling everyone my perspective on having read it. So if I misread it, then, you know, I wouldn't want to impute to Jeff anything Ian said. So, but yeah, okay. I'm glad to hear that we're on the same page with that. And so this next one, it may not be something that we get a lot of, on the call here, because I basically had a question at this next point. So right before section two, there's a subsection of one called respective roles of ICANN, PTI, and VeriSign over the root zone content. So there's a sub-bullet. Is this separation of roles appropriate? I just wondered if there could be some background or some intuition behind that question. Like, it seems very odd that in the SSR2 review team that we'd be questioning the separation of roles, unless maybe we could outline that there was some reason to call that into question. So it sounds like nobody that was at the sub-team meeting is on the call now that could answer that, right? Okay. Well, I'll put it to the list, and I'm just sort of very curious what the frame for that is, because I think, you know, if there's a question we need answered, then you should absolutely take a look at it. So moving on to Section 2, Change Management. Down in sort of the weeds, there was just something I didn't quite understand. The third bullet, in coordination with ISO 3166 or both introduction and retirement of ccTLDs, what is the nature of the interaction between ISO 3166 and the root zone? Are all two-letter TLDs reserved? What are about exceptionally reserved, traditionally reserved and indeterminately reserved names? Does ISO 3166 provide for CC name retirement in an acceptable manner? Is that an SSR issue that we should be talking about? Because if it is, that's cool. I just don't completely understand it. It might just need more. Maybe I don't get it. Maybe I need to get hit with a CLUBAT, or maybe it just needs a little more framing text. Does anyone have any perspective on that? And basically feels like that's just saying, you know, what TLDs are. Okay, so I see Bernie and Steve both have their hands up. So, Bernie, why don't you go first? Unless I missed you before, in which case I'm really sorry.
I'll let Steve go, and then I'll complete.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Steve?
I was going to let Bernie go. so I was actually in the subgroup that Denise and Boban and everybody else was, so I was not part of this one. But looking at this point that you just brought up and also the respective roles, the way I'm reading this is if we look at the stability of the SSR of unique identifiers within ICANN's whatever, blah, 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 that these two points might be talking about looking at or evaluating, you know, stability. If we look at, you know, multi-role process for, you know, PTI, ICANN, and VeriSign, if we look at this third bullet that you just brought up, and I'm thinking of, you know, .su versus .ru and .gb versus .uk, and there could be a stability question in there somewhere. So I'm not making a suggestion either way. I'm just bringing up that there's two S's in SSR, and maybe we should, you know, consider from all the different versions or views on that. Thank you.
Yeah, Bernie, did you want to follow that up at all?
Yes, I do. Firstly, the retirement of ccTLDs is, I would say, almost purely the purview of the CCNSO. They've been working up to starting a group to make policy recommendations on that, and that, if you will, got underway a few months ago, and they're working on getting everything together to actually start the work of developing a policy for that, because there's a bit of a policy vacuum when it comes to ICANN ccTLDs and their retirement versus the standard rules of ISO 3166. for the generation of CCTLDs. And I won't talk too long about this, but I spent 3 years working on this, so I can talk about this until the cows come home. Pardon me. Denise, did you have a comment?
No, no, go ahead.
The other point I wanted to make is there has been some discomfort between the CCNSO and the SSAC on the introduction of two-letter CCTLDs using other alphabets. And so there is the potential for visual confusion in some of those, and that may play into the stability part you were referring to. So I hope this is helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, that was helpful. Thanks, Bernie. Denise, did you want to go?
Yeah, just thank you. Just briefly, that Steve and Bernie, that's useful to have that background. Of course, the fact that the CCNSO is addressing this doesn't take it outside of our purview, but I would like to understand, and perhaps the person who added this text on the list, we can ask that they provide some more background as to how the coordination with 3166 is, and these CCTLD issues is a stability issue that warrants the team's review. I'm absolutely not saying that it isn't. I just don't have the depth of history in this area to understand the issue that the SSR team should be addressing. So I guess I need a little background on that as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot, Denise and Bernie. And everyone. So, so it sounds like that one may sort of be something that gets evolved through email discussion. But yes, I mean, certainly the homomorphic issues that I don't read in the text, but I absolutely heard from you, Bernie. Those are interesting, and you know, we'll see what comes back when we sort of have a more collective discussion. But yeah, so it's good to raise. And so the Eric component of this sort of diatribe, I think, is almost done. I just wanted to sort of go to two more things that were sort of in rapid succession at the bottom of Section 2, evolution of the root service and consistency of identifiers. So in the evolution of the root service, it felt to me like I wasn't sure if this subparagraph, I'll go ahead and just read it real quickly in my standard sort of like scribble. Does the future security of the DNS root service rely solely on current root server operators and the infrastructure they operate? Should the model of distribution of the root zone data evolve to include consideration of the opportunities offered by DNSSEC, such as local root secondary servers and recursive resolvers, DNSSEC, NSEC, caching? How can ICANN assist in these measures to assist in the scaling of the root and make it more resilient to known attack vectors? So this, basically having spent, more than a decade doing this sort of stuff really surprised me a little bit. But it's mostly because I wasn't sure, is this a suggestion to investigate something? Because it really seemed to presume that there was a problem, perhaps a scaling problem, that I'm not really aware of, but open to hearing about. So in the event that we wanted to sort of, it sort of felt like this text was proposing a solution to a problem that was left to be inferred. So, local roots, I think Steve Crocker calls them hyperlocal roots, whatever you want to call them, those are sort of, that's a pretty radical change. And, I feel like we probably should outline what the concern is, unless anybody can sort of illuminate that for me. I don't understand it. And then the consistency of identifiers. This one surprised me as well. The DNS resolution protocol is not the only protocol that performs a mapping from a domain name to an IP address or other, quote, attached attribute. To what extent should the ICANN community take steps to ensure that domain name has a consistent meaning irrespective of the method of name resolution, i.e., is ICANN's remit solely concerned with the domain names as resolved by the DNS protocol, or does it extend to domain names as resolved by any protocol in the context of the public internet, or domain names irrespective of the name's manner and context of use? So my concern about this, again, is it feels to me like it tries to impute a problem through describing what's wanted. So, for example, the name collisions issue, to try and beat that horse a little bit more. The name collisions issue, is one example where there is an interaction that is unintended between potentially, in some cases, very specifically, disparate namespaces, whereby I resolve a name in what ultimately is, quote, the wrong namespace, but that resolution dictates the reaction I have to it. So this is why I think we had the framing text in the team's terms of reference scope of, we may look broadly, but we'll focus our recommendations appropriately, because, yeah, if there's a namespace that isn't managed by ICANN, ICANN can't control that namespace. But if there's an effect in the ICANN managed DNS infrastructure because of an external namespace, it's important to be cognizant of it. So I just did a huge word vomit, so hopefully that was not completely incoherent. But does anybody have any perspective on that? Something that they recall from, conversations or anything, or any perspective at all? Fair response. So, so these are the sorts of things that I saw when I read through the work topics draft. And I'm hopeful that we can have a good conversation about this on the email list, and that might lead us to sort of a healthy discussion the next time the team meets. So looking at the size of and the number of people that didn't make the call, it feels like it might be somewhat inappropriate to try and choose a recurring time slot right here, right now.
Yeah, this is Denise. Can I get in the queue? I don't want to cut you off, Eric.
No,
I'd agree. I've seen so many doodle polls come across. Can staff remind us? We've just done one doodle poll for this group, and it was related to this specific call. Is that correct? Or have we done a doodle poll for a time slot for a reoccurring call for this group?
Hi, Denise. This is Yvette. We did this meeting as a one-time time slot meeting.
Right.
Jeff is a repeteur. Right. Exactly.
Because yeah.
You can make Monday.
Several people were in at the IETF, I think, was part of our challenge. And so we were thinking that we could grab a time that might be friendly to the people that were in Prague for IETF and have a call this week. Okay. And then, we didn't do a doodle poll for a standing call, though, right?
No, currently Jeff could make Monday 1700 UTC. Now, that didn't work for some other folks. So we can put out an additional doodle poll if you want, with some more creative time zones. Or we can check and see if the 1700 UTC works for everybody else, because that did work for Jeff. And that would be Monday. Monday's 1700 UTC.
As a standing time?
I would have to confirm that with him. That I would have to confirm with him. I know this Monday did. I would have to confirm revolving and standing orders with him.
Right. So obviously we need the whole team. We need a time that's good for a majority of team members. Well, for people on this call, if we had a reoccurring time of 10 a.m. on Mondays, is that – I'm sorry. Here I am talking in Pacific time, 1700 UTC on Mondays. Do we know if that works at least for the people on this call?
So 1700 UTC would be noon Pacific time, right? Or am I wrong about
that? I think it's 1 p.m. Pacific. I mean, 1 p.m. Eastern. 10 a.m.
Okay.
It's 10 a.m. Pacific.
Oh. Okay. I think that works for me. So I just signified agree. But, yeah, that works for me.
How about others on the call?
I see Bhavan says it works for him, and Ram Krishna says it works for him.
Awesome. So with that, hopefully we can short circuit this. Could you just send an email out to this subgroup and ask people to shout out if 1700 UTC on Mondays does not work for anyone for a standing call time? And then we can decide later how frequent we need to meet, but if we can hold the 1700 UTC on Mondays for this particular subgroup and avoid another doodle poll, that'd be awesome.
Okay, I will go ahead and do that.
And then just if I can then kind of get back into the substance, I think it was really useful to surface initial issues for this subgroup. It strikes me that it might be useful as we go through these issues to articulate the challenge, the SSR challenge, as well as the, and you noted a couple times, Eric, that the initial draft seemed to jump into solutions. And I think some of us had questions about why different topics were viewed potentially as an SSR challenge, like CCTLD, activities in the root. So I have a question. Would it make sense to, in our next draft, to articulate just, a couple sentences on what members see as the SSR challenge? And then if they have additional contributions on activities that the team should look at or what they view as the path that the team needs to explore, add that as well. Just as a kind of working protocol, I'm wondering if that makes sense.
That makes sense to me. Do you think that people should sort of proactively write that up or annotate the document, or we should sort of have a free-form discussion? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was thinking that if people could, that perhaps a useful next step would be to just start sharing redline edits and comments on this document, or and just start building it out. If people could, in that context, add what they view as the SSR challenge in the different areas, I think that would be useful. So separately, this, and it's just so helpful to have something concrete to use as a stepping off point. So I really appreciate the fact that Jeff took time to give us a first sort of straw man draft to start working from. Really, really helpful. I think, and one of the reasons I want to make sure I look at the initial list of topics that the full review team put under this subtopic area is that I think we need to flesh out the topics that this subtopic team addresses. I know there's sort of a placeholder without any specifics under DNS abuse, for example, but I think there's other issues that the full team expected this subtopic team to address that don't appear on this list. So I just wanted to flag that for people. I'll be as part of my redline edit suggesting bringing in some of those topics from the list as well. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's really great. I think this is probably going to be one of the better sort of attended and more energetic subgroups, so I'm looking forward to it as well. So if there's anything else that we ought to talk about, any other business, I think now would be a good time to raise it. And Bhavan gives you props, Denise.
Well, thank you, Bhavan.
Otherwise, we might all wind up with 12 or 13 minutes of time back on our calendars. Going once. Going twice for any other business? Okay, cool. So our friends in MSI will help send a note out about potentially scheduling for this coming Monday, or for Mondays in general, sorry. My math skills proven wrong by Denise. I accept that. I'll send out my red lines, and like Denise suggested, if others have red lines as well, please send them to the list, and we'll look forward to Monday.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Eric, for jumping in and sharing the call as well.
Totally, my pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I look forward to continuing this discussion online.
Yep. All right. Talk to you all later.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.